This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. I'm Sharon Sarles, and I just felt that we needed to spend some time in the scriptures today, continuing to study Isaiah 53 and 54. We'll get into some New Testament scriptures today, because we receive at this ministry prayer requests. Most all of them are for healing, and I'm not able to tell for sure when I get these prayer requests that people understand how to pray effectively for healing. You know, if they say, put me on your list, I don't understand if they understand that God has already bought and paid for healing, that it's in the atonement based on a clear reading of the Hebrew in Isaiah 53. And so we went over that, and let me just mention that. Surely our griefs, otherwise translated sicknesses, he himself bore, and our sorrows, our pains, he carried away. And yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was pierced through for our transgressions, those acts where we disobeyed, and he was crushed for our iniquities, our idolatry, wherever we strayed from God. And the chastening for our well-being, our shalom, fell on him, and by his scourging we are healed. Or in the King James, which may be more familiar, by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. And all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Hallelujah. This is central to the Christian faith, that Jesus became the Lamb, the guilt offering for us. And God has given us salvation by grace, and we receive it through faith. And therefore, we should walk in it, in good works and in demonstration. Hallelujah. And so we talked about how this suffering of Jesus in his scourging, in his crucifixion, in his death, and then his resurrection, this is the joy, this is the harvest for his planting of his seed, and how in the end of the chapter it talks about how he will be satisfied, how he will see his offspring, and he will justify many. And then it goes into the praise and the exaltation and the explanation of chapter 54, shout for joy, O barren one. And this is Israel, yes, but this is also us, that God has promised good to us and to our family. Our household shall be saved with us. And so we were cast off like a rejected wife. Many of us today are, in fact, single mothers, but God has a plan for us. God is our husband. Our maker is your husband, and his name is the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. It's just mind-boggling. Yes. And although God has to turn his face from sin, and I think this was the greatest suffering that Jesus bore, even though the whipping was horrific and the crucifixion is the epitome of excruciating. Nevertheless, I think when God, the Father, had to turn his face from his Son because all the sin of the world was placed on him, I think this is what was most awful for the Lord Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? This is what was most terrible. But for us, it bought an everlasting covenant. Even though the hills might fall down, the mountains might fall down like a pancake, but God's covenant of shalom with us will not, for Jesus bought us an eternal relationship. Hallelujah, a covenant of shalom. So we read peace, but this peace in English is far too small and wan a word. Shalom, there's no word like shalom. No word in English like shalom. Shalom means peace. It means peace with God and peace with man. It means prosperity. It means well-being. It means healing and wholeness and health. And it means success. It means nothing missing, nothing broken. The good life, the really good life. And so we who were once a widow are now brought in the wife of a king, and now showered with blessings, showered with gifts, precious and rare jewels. But I think the best promise is, and all your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, using God's personal name, the Lord. And that's what it means when you see Lord in all caps. And the well-being of our sons will be great. Rav Shalom Benaid. Our children are promised shalom in our covenant of shalom. Yes, that is the best. That is so great. We have an everlasting covenant, and we know we will live with God in heaven in bliss forever. But I have a relationship with God now, and it is blissful when I spend time and worship Him. And if I have victory in the end of the story, I might as well have victory now. And if I have been given a promised land, I jolly well wish to take it now. And so how do I take my promised land of shalom in this life? The Lord came to give us life, and that more abundantly. And hallelujah, heaven's a great thing, but I want some of it now. And there is no reason why not. Jesus walked around healing all, casting out demons, walking on water. And if I live in Christ, then I expect to grow up in His image. I expect to be like Jesus. And of course, I realize that morality and ethics and character may come before demonstration, but I'll take all of it. I decided to go all the way with Jesus, and I expect you have sung that too. Hallelujah. So let's just go over to the New Testament, and let's be sure that we're in line with apostolic teaching. So let's look at 1 Peter and the second chapter, skipping down for starting the 21st verse. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in His steps. And then Peter quotes from Isaiah, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return, and while suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to Him who judges righteously. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. So Peter is talking to his readers and saying, look, you better not be suffering because you've done the wrong thing. But if you are following Jesus and being like Him, yes, you may be persecuted. And therefore, arm yourself with the same mind that you are living like Jesus. So He didn't commit any sin, and He didn't lie. He had no deceit in His mouth. And so this is implication that neither should we. And while He was reviled, He did not revile again. Okay, so people curse us, but we continue to bless because we follow Jesus. And He continued to entrust Himself to God who judges righteously. And of course, this also relates exactly to Isaiah 54 in the last few verses, which we did not read. And He Himself bore our sins. This is exactly a reflection of the words in Isaiah 53, and surely our griefs He Himself bore. This is an emphasis in the Hebrew, and Peter, of course, understood Hebrew. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Not simply that we have a fire insurance policy and we can get to heaven. No, that we are dead to sin now, that we can live holy now, and that we live to righteousness. So we're living like Jesus. Oh, that's so awesome. For by His wounds you were healed. And of course, this means our whole system was healed on the cross, was past tense. It's says in Isaiah 53, and by his stripes we are healed, by his scourging we are healed in Isaiah. But Peter specifically puts it in the past tense. By his wounds you were healed. Obviously quoting Isaiah 53, but shifting that because Peter is living after the cross and after the resurrection. An eyewitness to all of this. By your wounds. And our whole system. Yes, hallelujah, our spirits alive to God. And why not our bodies also? And our minds in between. Oh yes, I'm going to have it all. All right. So how do you have it all? Okay, because you say, well, I'm saved, but I don't have heaven on earth. Well, you could have been standing in the Valley of Achor and said, yeah, well, I don't see any property. The land is yours. It is promised to you, so you take it. So how do we take our land? Well, Paul talks about that. I invite you to come with me to Romans. Romans in the 10th chapter. Oh, let's start in verse 4. It's all so good. Romans 10 and 4. For Christ, which means the anointed one. So it's a Greek word that would be used instead of Messiah if we were speaking in Hebrew. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on the law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks thus. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings, the good news, the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? You remember that from Isaiah 53 and 1? Lord, who has believed our report? So let's go through this and unpack this a little bit. Romans 10, and we read a little bit that Christ is the end, the telos, of the law for righteousness. Okay, so this, once again, is the center of Christian faith, that our righteousness is in Jesus. Of course, we want to do righteous, we want to do the right things, but because we cannot be perfect, as God, we cannot keep the law of God perfectly. We believe in Jesus. And so, how do we get this righteousness? Can we bring Christ up? Can we go to heaven? Can we go down to hell? Well, Jesus can, and we are in him. So, how do we take this land? How do we live out being in Christ? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. This is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, we often use this text when we are talking to unbelievers and asking them to come into the family of faith and confess, believe in their hearts and confess Jesus, and they are saved, they're converted. And that's true, absolutely. But of course, there's much more here than that. How do you really live the Christian life? Well, guess what? You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. This is what we're preaching. This is what Paul was preaching. This is what I'm preaching. Okay? So if you want to live in the salvation, in the shalom of God, first you believe it, because you heard it, you believe that report, and then because you believed it, you have received it, you have taken it, and then you speak it And then you end up living it. If you're believing it and receiving it and speaking it, you will live it. Right? Get out the other ideas, the unbelief. Kick it out. Get out the negativity, the words of idolatry. Kick it out. Shut up. Put duct tape on. No, speak instead the word of God. Because from the heart, the man believes. And this results in righteousness. Whatever you really care about, you do. And from the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation or rescue or shalom. You could translate it all those ways. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. We're not talking about some sort of mental assent to doctrines. When we say believe, the word in Greek pistis means rely on, have confidence in. That which you really believe in is what you will really talk about. And that which you believe in and talk about and care about is what you're going to end up acting like. It's inevitable. It's connected. And so if you want to change channels from the negative way to life of the gutter, what would you do? Well, you would fill your ears up, fill your heart up, fill your mind up, fill your eyes full, and start speaking a new way. If you are some low-income worker and you want to be successful, what would you do? You'd probably get some sort of motivation tape, some training session. You'd fill your mind up with that. Then you'd take some training classes on some work skills, and you'd be around people who were doing that. If you wanted to change your income level, that's what you would do. And the same principles work in this life too. If you want to live a supernatural lifestyle, you will fill your ears, you will fill your mind, you'll fill your eyes, and you'll fill your mouth. And then you'll find yourself doing it. Now, I'm not talking about chasing fantasies. I'm talking about the Word of God that has been testified to time and time again through the centuries. I'm talking about the resurrection in your life. If you believe in the crucifixion, if you believe that Jesus can carry away your sins, why not believe in the resurrection, that he can bring new life to you? Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And now you're challenged to believe it. Are you going to be saved? Not just simply converted in terms of your opinion about religion. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, will you be rescued from a life that's a mess into a life that is righteousness, peace, and joy? Will you be taken from a sheep that's caught going down the wrong path into a princess, a queen of great shalom? And if that will be true for you, will you bring it to your children? Won't you bring your children? If you were married into the king of the universe, wouldn't you bring your kids from your previous marriage in? Sure. Yeah. If he'd have them, and he has specifically said he would, you and your household will be saved. All your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom. Who has believed this report? Has not the report been watered down? Well, I'm telling you, like the scripture says it, and I am challenging you to believe it and receive it by faith. Let's pray right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this great good news. Thank you, Lord, for giving us Jesus to take away our sins and to bring us to your heart, to take away our lives that were messed up and give us your life. And Lord, we would receive all of that. We will receive all of that. Expand our understanding. Help us to speak in alignment with your word. And Lord, we would want all that you have for our children. Lord, we would want shalom, peace with you in all ways, alignment with you in all ways, that they would might live in righteousness, peace, and joy in shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. So we, in the mighty name of Jesus, now bless our children. May they have perfect health, perfect protection, perfect success, perfect victory and perfect righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. That is good. That is good news. And I would like to preach it more. It is my honor and joy. It is truly the joy of my life to be unpacking the scriptures for you. And I would like this word to go forth. Would you help me? Would you help me send the word forth? I want your participation. I want your participation in the gospel. I want you to tell people what the Bible says. I want to have you tell them about me telling them, right? So you can hit that share button when it comes to technology. And figuratively, when you're talking to people, share with them this good news. And partner with me financially too, if you would, because I'm certainly supporting this ministry. I would like you to do that so the ministry can grow, so that the word of God's healing, salvation, rescue, shalom can go out to more people, and particularly to parents and educators. Do you know anybody who's preaching this word of faith to parents and educators? It is time. It is now time. It is high time that the good news of the gospel get out to children. It is not the enemy attacking them, but God wants total well-being for them. God wants them to be able to learn well. God wants them to be able to play happily. God wants them to grow up secure. And that means parents and educators equipped, encouraged, resourced. And that's what we're trying to do. Would you help us do it? Our address is P.O. Box 971 Cedar Park, Texas 78630. We are a 501c3 organization in the United States. P.O. Box 971 Cedar Park, Texas 78630. By all means, check us out on the website at www.greatshalom.org. www.greatshalom.org. We have a lot of resources there for you. We'll tell us a little something about ourselves. You can get archives of our broadcasts, and you can send your friends to it. All right, so I invite your participation. And of course, I covet your prayers. Of course, I would like you to pray for me and for this ministry. Pray for protection. Pray for guidance. Thank the Lord that He does guide us. Pray for hearts to be receptive. Rebuke unbelief and call for salvations and healings, miracles, signs, wonders, demonstrations of the gospel. Thank you so much for it. And it is our greatest honor and privilege to proclaim the good news that God wants total well-being for all children. Amen.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat. We're rejoicing in the Lord.
It's an honor to be able to sow the Word of God into your lives and the lives of your children. And we ask that you would sow into this ministry to partner with us, won't you? And we believe the words of Jesus when He said, "Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For whatever measure you deal out to others, it will be dealt to you in return." And we're trusting the Lord to bless you as you bless Him and His project to send His love out to children. Not hard to figure out that you make the world a better place when you invest in children. So if you'd like to send us a contribution, our address is P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. That's P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Sharon would love to pray with you for your children. In fact, it would be an honor for her and her prayer team to bring you and your loved ones to the throne of grace. Just email your urgent prayer request to info@greatshalom.org. Or write to the Great Shalom Broadcast, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. God says, where two or more are gathered together, I am there. God hears and answers prayer. God wants you healed. That's right. Forget about why God may not want you healed. He does want you healed, well and healthy. And in Sharon Sarles' new book, God Wants You Healed, she shows you this from a biblical perspective. This new book is available now and can be obtained in either a downloadable format or in hard copy at www.greatshalom.org. That's www.greatshalom.org. And remember, God wants you healed.
God wants total well-being for all children. Children today have more problems than most people want to admit. The statistics of learning and developmental problems are truly grim. Educators and parents have a real challenge. My assignment is to speak God's word of hope, faith, and healing into the situation. My name is Sharon Sarles, and I have the Great Shalom Broadcast. If you can give me an opportunity to speak encouragement into educators, parents, or students, please call me at 512-249-7629, 512-249-7629, or email me at info@greatshalom.org. That's info@greatshalom.org. Just as it says, all your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom Broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.